I'm going to have fun this morning because I get to talk about sex. And sex is fun. All right? You guys are really quiet. You guys are going to have to get into it this morning. You know, you ever have that sex talk and everybody's uncomfortable? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, we're going to have a sex talk this morning. All right? Can you believe they're going to talk about sex in church? So it's going to be a fun message this morning. I'm going to have a good time. I pray you do too. But the church to talk about sex has really been a very interesting experience. There's some churches that have really done some great jobs. They put some big old storyboards outside, you know, as you go down the freeways. And some churches have really got in trouble with that. You know, they have just little sayings like, are you satisfied with your sex life? And just and people are getting up, what's the church doing talking about sex? Well, you know what? I think the church needs to talk about sex. I think we need to address, I think for so long we kind of let the family do it, and the families didn't do it, and the schools started doing it, and we end up in trouble. We end up where we're at. So I'm going to talk about sex this morning. We're going to have a great time as I do. But some of you are here going, I'm married. I get to have sex. Yeah, you do, all right? You're married, you get to have sex. But you need to understand something. The studies say, now my observation doesn't see this, but all the studies say 50% of men will have an affair. Or excuse me, 60%. That's what the studies say. It says 50% of women will have an affair in their marriage. And you know, as I read that, I haven't seen that much, but I have, and I know, and I've observed that happening and destroying families in those situations. Here's some other numbers I found on the internet. 57% of people will flirt on the internet. 57%. 38% will have explicit sexual online conversations. 50% will talk to somebody they have met on the internet. And 31% will have, that they have met on the internet will have sex with them. It's a problem. Even for married couples, it's a problem. So I don't want you checking out this morning saying, well, this message is for the teenagers and the unmarried and the single. No. We need to understand. And what I want to give you and what we're going to look at this morning is we need to take some preventive medicine even for our marriages. But even as singles, there's a new movie out. I was trying to remember the title. It kind of went along with like Friends with Benefits. And there's some new movie. Anybody, what's that new movie that's out? What's the name of that movie? Somebody knows it. Come on. No Strings Attached. Thank you. There's a new movie out. Sex. No strings. We just want to have sex. No strings attached. I mean, I've seen it advertised on the TV, and I've seen all those things. And we talk about those kind of events. And you know what we say is more important? Here's the two important things. Consensual sex and safe sex. That's what our society will tell you. But what I want us to do and what I want you to think about this morning is sex isn't just some physical activity that we do. That sex is something that Satan has twisted, that God created for good, that God made for us, and Satan has twisted it, and he's turned it, and he made what it is today. This kind of comedy thing, this kind of movie tweak thing to get an audience. And Satan has twisted this. What's interesting is this, 70% of singles say they wish they would be not live together. That 70% of singles do not want to live together before they get married. And 61% want to be a virgin when they get married. But is that what society tells you? That was a survey of 5,000. Time Magazine, this is Time. This is not a religious magazine, okay? Time Magazine put a story out that was done by the Rand Company, and that story said this, that those who watch sexually explicit TV are 50% more likely to get pregnant before they're 20. That there is a direct connection with what we watch on TV to people getting pregnant. Friday night, I went walking down the mall. Walking through the mall, just walked all the way down on the bottom floor, got up the escalator, went all the way back down on the top floor. And I'm going to tell you what I seen. I'm going to call it soft porn. You know, I walked by this store, and there was probably more, if I had a handkerchief, there was more material in my handkerchief than on this bathing suit that this model had on in the store. And I'm looking at the signs as I walk down. I'm looking at these signs, and I'm looking at these posters, and I'm looking at these stores, and it's different. See, we're taking these, and we don't even realize it. We take these little baby steps, and it looks okay, and everybody's doing it, and it's not bothering anybody, and we see this. And it's just these little baby steps that get us down this path. We don't think anything when I walk down and I see this mannequin. And I'm serious. There was no material there. Dental floss, okay? Yeah. And I see, and we walk down and this sign after sign. I look in this one store. And you got, now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Now, come on. You might want to ignore me. You might not want to look at me right now. But you know what stores I'm talking about. That is really, I'm going to tell you, that is really soft porn. We need to understand our world has taken this gift that God has given us and just twists it and it turns it and makes it disgusting. But it's these little baby steps. See, when I was growing up, you know what magazine you needed to get? National Geographic. You wanted to get your National Geographic when it was from Africa. All right. Some of you are laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. Now, come on. I'm serious. Yeah. We had a neighbor down the street. His dad subscribed to Playboy for the articles. That we perused them, not for the articles. You know, confession's good for the soul. I'm serious now. And I'm not the only one. You guys might look at me like, oh, that's a dirty old man. Yeah. But you get those magazines today. You know what it is? Here's a little catalog from a company with these girls. They're not just half naked. They're basically naked. And you know what magazine I'm talking about? Or you get these men's magazines. I'm going to mention one. I'm not going to tell you what one that one is because you guys know what it is. How about a magazine for women called Cosmopolitan? Has an article like this. How to please your man. Didn't say how to please your husband, how to please your man. Or you get a magazine called Maxim. Come on now, guys. You know what I'm talking about. And it has an article, what a woman wants most. Doesn't say what your wife wants. You guys are quiet. Is it scary to talk about sex? You got to be up here doing it, all right? But I'm just telling you the truth. Satan has taken this, and we look at these little magazines. We get this catalog in the mail. We get the magazine delivered right to our house. It doesn't even have paper on it anymore. You know, it doesn't even stick in a paper bag anymore. They just send it out. We got the internet. You close your bedroom door so nobody sees what you're on. I don't have a door on my office with my internet. For a specific reason. Now, I don't want to go there. You need to know. I'm afraid what porn pages do to a computer, and I need my computer too much. But I actually do not have a door on my office in my house. It's wide open. You can walk by that, and you can look in and see what I'm looking at. I don't have a door on that office. But we get these magazines, and we get the internet, and we got TVs now. They get 500 channels and probably half of them. It's amazing to me how many shows I watch during the week. I don't really watch, but I watch advertisements for them. I like History Channel and those kind of things. I just enjoy that. But they're advertising, almost everybody. Somebody's sleeping with somebody. We flew in airplanes. We get these mileage. Well, we never get enough mileage because we don't fly enough. Laura subscribed to some magazines. So we get Entertainment Weekly. So I got this Entertainment Weekly. And on the back page, when you opened the back one up, this last one, it was looking at it, and it was about housewives and men, I forget, Angry Housewives or something. I don't know what the title was. And it was showing he's sleeping with him and she's sleeping with her. And I'm watching it. It had all these arrows connecting all these people sleeping together. And we're watching it on TV like it's no big deal. See, Satan has taken this and just twisted it. Here's the question I want to ask. Write this somewhere on a piece. Get your paper out. It's not on the paper here. I didn't put it here, but I want to ask you a question. Is how we're seeing sex today making life better? Is it? Is how sex is seen today making life better? Think about it. Is how we're practicing sex in our society today making it better? Honestly, I don't even need to pull the Bible out to start looking at this. I'm going to get to the Bible in a minute, all right? But I don't need to pull the Bible out. Just look at this. How many families have been destroyed by chat rooms? All right? I'll tell you one that most of us don't think about, and I see it more and more. And a matter of fact, I just said an article, 20% now, 20% of divorces are beginning on Facebook. I'm going to tell you, Facebook. Now, Facebook is nice. I'm not going to harp on Facebook, but I'm going to put a big but in there. There's some issues with Facebook. 20% now in divorces are showing up on Facebook. I always think it's funny. People watch shows like Friends and have no friends. Turn the TV off and go make some friends. I mean, come on. You get on Facebook. I watch some of these commercials about how to use and, you know, telephone companies wanting to make money, you know, your cell phone companies. And they're sitting across from people and they're texting and they're right across the dining room table from them. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, I kind of peruse Facebook. I haven't seen Facebook in probably a month. I just don't have time. Now, maybe you do, but I'm going to tell you what, you better realize that can be a problem. The court system, and I'll tell you what, lawyers now, the first thing, if you go to a lawyer, here's what I've read. If you're getting a divorce or you're on trial for whatever it is, the first thing your lawyer will ask you is this. Do you have a Facebook page? And if you do, the lawyer says, get rid of it. That's the first thing a lawyer will ask you. We don't think, oh, Facebook's no big. It's a big deal. Now, I'm not going to put it down all the time. I know some of you use it. I mean, I got some good news this week. Somebody was on it saying they were listening to my sermons during the week. I like that. All right. Now, you can post that on your Facebook. That's a good one. All right. You know, somebody posted that. I won't talk about Jocelyn, but that was just what she posted. We need to understand Satan has taken this stuff and just twisted it. And he makes it sound okay, and he makes it sound reasonable. They did another survey. 63% of people, of singles, said if they were not a virgin, they wished they were a virgin when they got married. If they weren't a virgin, they would wish they were a virgin when they got married. We have those desires and we have set up those things. But I ask you, is it better? Families destroyed, single parents, pregnant teenagers. Has the way we view sex different? Now, some of you guys are looking at me, well, I'm just an old man and this is a preacher. What do you expect? Right? You're in church. What do you expect? See, I grew up in the 60s. Burn your bra and free love, okay? I'm serious. Everybody think, it's all new today, man. It's all different today. I remember the 60s, women literally taking their bras and burning them. I seen them on TV, lighting them on fire. It's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says, and he's right. We need to step back and think about what God is sitting here saying. Has it really made life better? Or has it complicated life? We need to look at what we have and what we have to say here. Maybe an illustration would be this. I used to go camping a lot. Some of you used to go camping. When you go camping, you're going to build a fire, right? You're going to build a fire. You go camp, you're going to build a fire. you get this fire pit, you put rocks around it, or it's a can or whatever it is, and you build this fire, and you make a fire. Now, when I was in Boy Scouts and I was young, you'd build a fire, and you'd sit there with a stick, you'd get the stick on fire, you'd stick the stick in there and get it red hot, get it burning, then you'd take the stick out and you'd walk around with the stick, right? Anybody ever do that? Come on now. And then somebody would yell at you, get that back in the fire, right? You're going to cause a forest fire. Well, when fire is in that pit, when fire is where it's supposed to be, it is beautiful. It is warming. It is exciting. And I want to tell you, when sex is where it's supposed to be, it is warming. It is exciting. And it blesses our life. It's just like that fire. In the right context, in the right place, in the right environment, it is the most beautiful thing you can experience. But when you take it out of that environment, it can start the biggest fires, break the biggest hearts, and destroy the greatest life. See, we need to think about this, and we need to see what this has to say and see. Now, if you were God, what would you say? If you were God and you see the destruction in families, in pregnant teenagers, in single parenting, and that is hard, and I see this all the time. And you see all that going on. If you were God, what would you say? Be careful. Be safe. Be responsible. Is that what God, do you really think that's, is that what, if you're a parent and you see your kid going down the wrong place, you see your kid going the wrong way, you're going to walk up, son, you need to be careful. You need to be responsible. If you're me, I'm going to grab that kid up, slap him to the ground and say, right? No abuse though, okay? I'm not going to abuse him. It might look like it, might want to, but it's not going to happen. That's what God wants to do with us. You don't need the Bible. Just look at society, but I want to show you what the Bible has to say. And I want to encourage you because I think the Bible has some great wisdom. Because here's what I want you to understand as we get into this. Sex is just not some physical activity. Sex is about intimacy. And we need to see that in our lives. In the context of marriage, it is the greatest thing you can have and experience. But taken out of that context, it destroys. It kills. So I want to look at what God's word says. So you have your little outline there. I've been going pretty quick. Let's look at your outline. Let's look at this verses here. Look what it says. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I want you to look at what it says here. It says, what's that first word? Circle that first word. Flee. And I'm not talking about a little bug on your dog, all right? That's not what he's talking about here. Flee. I gave you the definition. I want you to see what it says. To flee away. Seek safety. To flight. Present imperative. Have the habit of fleeing without delay. What he's saying is, and this is one of the words I learned, I put that present imperative because I want to make sure you hear what it says. He's saying you need to continually, habitually run the other way. That's what he's saying. It's not a one-time decision. It's not something, well, I decided, like I say, 70% say living together is not right. Then why do so many people live together? 61% say they want to be a virgin when they get married, and yet the statistics don't show that. Why? Because they're not fleeing. We need to run the other way. You need to go the other direction. Chatting on the internet with somebody of the opposite sex is wrong. I'm saying it. Chatting, Facebook, with somebody on the opposite sex is wrong. You might disagree. Oh, that's just the old preacher. I'm telling you the truth. It means flee. Go the other way. Turn the TV off. Don't go see that show. Put a firewall on the internet. It means flee. It means run. It means get away. I sat there. How many of us sat there and watched the tsunami just wave over? Anybody seen that wave just kind of eat that farmland up over in Japan? Anybody watch that and seen all that? How it just kind of and it just kept going and going and going. And I'm watching some cars. I watched the guy turn around. He's trying to get away, and the water caught his car. It made me think of this word here. Flee. I mean, it's like the tsunami is coming. Turn and run. Don't stroll. Don't dawdle. Don't just a little bit. Flee. Does that make, I'm run, okay? When it's there, walk down the mall and look at that trash. I'm going to call it trash. You walk by that store and I look in the door and it's, come on. That's softcore porn. We need to flee. We need to run the other way. We need to go. It's present imperative, continual, habitual action. That's what present imperative means. That's what I learned in my Greek class. I remember something from college. Continual, habitual action. I need to continually, habitually flee. Run. Get away. All right? I can't get any more specific than that. Flee immorality. Now, what is immorality? Immorality, I got a good definition. Immorality, don't look at the one on the page, because I'm going to give you one. Immorality is what everybody else does wrong, but that's okay for me. All right? That's immorality. I give you the definition there. Look at what it says. Illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbian. Immorality is sexuality or sensuality outside the context of marriage. All right? That's what immorality is. But see, you need to understand something. We're in love. We're really in love. We're going to get married. So it's okay for us. We're the exception. We're different. I've heard that. We're not. See, immorality is what somebody else does. It's not what I do, because I'm different. We're different. We're really in love. We need to step back and hear what we say and think about what we say and how we say these things. Because see, people agree with that, but I'm the exception. I agree. That's immoral. You shouldn't live together. That's not the right thing to do. But we're different. Our situation, our circumstances, we're different. We need to think about these things because we always have that little exception, that little butt in there. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether you're single or you're married. You need to think about this preventive medicine. I'm going to beat up on this internet, and I'm going to beat up on the Facebook, and I'm going to beat up on chat rooms, and I'm going to beat up on this because I see it destroy families. I've had the conversations. And when I say 31% of the people have talked on the internet, have met them and had sex with them, I've seen that. I've heard the stories. It's true. You're saying, well, no, it's not. It's true. It's just a conversation. I remember one young lady was asking me some Bible questions. And I wanted to answer her. So the first thing I did is I emailed her dad and told her dad and forwarded the question to him and said, I'm going to answer her. And everything I sent to her, I sent to him. Even though I'm answering a Bible question, I made sure dad knew what his daughter was asking me. And she knew that. We need to think about these things in our life. Think about what happens and what Satan does and how Satan twists it. Is life better because we have free sex today? Because we have sex without strings? Because we have friends with benefits? Is our lives really better today? Just, is it better? We live in this world and Satan has just twisted this. and how many families and how many things are all jacked up because of sex outside the bonds of marriage. You know, I expected to be really quiet in here this morning because I knew talking about sex, everybody just gets a little squirmy. You guys are really quiet. Because it's a touchy subject. Because see, it's everybody else, but we're different. I'm going to tell you something. I do not believe in platonic relationships. Not going to happen. Guys have one-track minds, okay? They can be your friend, but they got a one-track mind. And it's not always good. We need to have walls. We need to have rules. We need to have boundaries. You need to think about those things in your life. You're going to protect yourself, protect your marriage, and protect what you want to have in your family and with your children. Let's back up a little bit in these verses and see what God had to say. I think he really has a good picture. So let's go on to these next verses. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? He's saying, when you're a child of God, you become the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet. When you are a Christian, you become the body of Christ. You are what the world sees as Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ's body and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? I like that. Don't you get it? Don't you know? The problem is we don't. To me, it's like, don't you know? Look at what it's doing outside. You don't even need to read the Bible. Look what it's doing in the world. Is it making it better? Don't you know? That's what Paul is saying. Just look around. Don't you know? For it is said that two will become one flesh, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one in spirit. Paul is sitting there saying, listen, when you unite yourself in a sexual act, you become one. Now, I want to pause a minute here, and I want to say this. Some of you may have a hard time with this, but this is the truth. You do not only have affairs, you do not only have sexual experience with a physical act. All right? I believe there's an emotional adultery. I do. I believe the act doesn't have to mean anything. It doesn't have to take an act. I believe people can commit emotional adultery. We need to watch that. That's why I think Facebook and those sexual explicit conversations, that is out of bounds. It just doesn't work. And this is what Paul is sitting there saying. I want to give you an illustration of what Paul is saying. You look at the word unite. Look at the word unite. That word literally means to glue things together, to connect things together, to cement things together. So I'm going to take two pieces of paper. And I'm going to glue these together. Hopefully I got my glue here. Because you know what we'll say? Thank you. You know what we'll say? We'll say it's just a one-night stand. It was just a one-time fling. It was just something that happened that just got out of control. I didn't mean it to go that way. I didn't want to go that far. It wasn't quite meant that way. See, and we think we get away with it. We can slide through. She's not pregnant. She's not pregnant. Or, man, at least I didn't give her my phone number. She can't call me. I'm serious. We'll say things like that, and we think we can slide by, and we think we can slip by, and we got away with it. I didn't get any diseases. And we feel these things, and we say these things. But what Paul is sitting here saying as he talks this verse, he's saying, you know, when you have sex with somebody, it's like you glue things together. It's like you glued them together. And when you go to pull them apart, they don't come apart. That you leave a piece of yourself. Leave a part of who you are. Emotionally, spiritually, physically. When you have sex, you are uniting yourself. You are gluing yourself to someone. To someone. And when you walk away, you're going to walk away. And it's not going to come apart. You're going to be different. You're not going to be the same. You think you got away with it. You think you slipped through. You think I'm okay. Nobody's going to find out. Nobody's going to know. She's not pregnant. Everybody's okay now. But it's not. What I want to tell you is this. Sex, you carry with you your whole life. Why do you think it's so tragic when you see the molestation of 6- and 7-year-old individuals? And many times, I watch these cop shows all the time, and you get the prostitutes they're picking up. And most of those prostitutes they pick up were raped or molested as children. Why? Why? You need to know, I don't have much patience and much sympathy, and I don't have much grace for child predators. I think we need to really be careful because they damage people for their whole life. And we think we can slip by and we think we can get away. And I can't pull these apart. Look. See, we think sex is just a simple act. And it's not. It destroys your life. There will be a piece of you emotionally, physically, and spiritually that is destroyed. But no, we're different. I'm different. It's not just me. We have a different life. See, I want you to write a word down here somewhere. I didn't give you a place, but I want you to write a word down here. The word is oneness. I don't even know if it's a literal word or not. Because that's what it's about. That verse says the two become one. The two become one. When I glued those papers together, they became one. We need to understand that when you and we have sex outside the bonds of marriage, we have become one. And you carry that with you your whole life. You know what? I have never heard anybody come to me in all my counseling, in all the years I've been here, in all the years I've been pastoring. I have never had somebody come to me and go, you know what, Gary? If I would have just had more sex before I got married, man, it would be better. I've never heard that. I've never heard somebody come to me and say, Gary, you know what? If I had just experimented more and did more and tried more and done this and done that, you know what? Man, my marriage would be much better off today. I've never heard that. But I've heard it many times. I regret. It kills me. It hurts me. See, your life, I'm going to tell you, your life is like a hard disk in a computer. I got news for you. If you think you can erase something out of a hard disk on a computer, you don't. You give me that computer, I got a program. I can go in there and see what you've been doing. All right? You need to know that. I don't even need your, all I need is that hard disk. I can take your hard disk. I got a program at home. I can go through your hard disk and find out where you're going, where you've been, and what you've erased. Because all you do, when you erase something on your computer, you take it out of the index. It's just all you did is take out their phone number. I can go in there and reestablish that index and find out where you've been, what you wrote, what you've done. That's what your mind does. It was just a one-night stand. It was just a chance encounter. It was just something that happened. And your mind stores that. And at the wrong time, in the wrong experience, in the wrong place, it hurts. So at the bottom of your page, on the next slide, I put it this way. What does all this mean? What does all this mean? What am I going to do? What does it mean? I put it this way. It's all about intimacy, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Sex is not just an act, it's intimacy. It's that oneness. It's physical, spiritual, and emotional. And we need to understand that. We think we can just slide through and just have this little chance encounter, this little visit over here. We think we're different. I agree, people shouldn't live together, but my situation is different. And we say these things. And we agree, oh, you're right, it's immoral and it's not right. But I want to tell you, it's physical, emotional, and spiritual. And you can't separate this. You can't pull it apart. You can rip it apart. And it hurts. And it's broken. And it's devastated. And I want to challenge us to think. To think. Because what are you going to do? How can we change this? It's hard. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. It's hard getting over those emotional experiences in life. Am I right? Not just sexual. It's hard getting over those emotional things. Those emotional hurts. Maybe words. Maybe those other things. What I liked about what Paul said there in that last verse we read was he said, all others sin, but sex is different. See, sex has its own category. Sex is, it's over here because it involves this physical, emotional, and spiritual. Many sins are just physical things. Some sins are emotional abuse. But sex, it's the whole thing. It has a category of its own. And it's things that we carry with us the rest of our lives. And those things that you know, well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to sit down someday and you're going to have to talk to your child. Maybe a daughter. What are you going to tell them? You know, honey, what are you going to tell them? You're going to get married. Yeah, and do you tell them everything? Do you tell them all what happened? What do we do? It's okay. Nobody's going to find out. But you carry that garbage. You carry that trash because it's not the same. A part of you has been ripped. A part of you is torn. What do you do when you have that? Well, fortunately, God gave us something. Fortunately, God's grace and God's mercy, He wants to heal us. I want you to look at this verse with me, would you? When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in the later days you will return to the Lord. You hear what He's saying? When you look in the mirror and you feel empty. Maybe you're married, or maybe you're getting ready to get married, and you look into the mirror and you just something's not right. You know, the night before your wedding, and you're looking and you're going, something's not right. And you don't know what's wrong. You just don't feel right. Or maybe you've been married, and maybe you've been hanging around the water fountain too much, or maybe you've been on the internet too much, or maybe you've been in a chat room. And maybe you've been hanging around there too much, and you're sitting in front of that mirror, and it just doesn't feel right. You know there's something wrong. And the Bible, and God is saying, when you feel distressed, maybe you've achieved, and maybe you've made things, and maybe you got lots of money, you got lots of women hanging around you, you're doing real well, but you stand there looking in the mirror and there's something wrong. Something's not right. When you are distressed and all things have happened to you, then in the later days you return to the Lord. Later on. I had this quote, I don't know if I can quite quote it right, but it goes like this: obey me and I'll bless you. Don't obey me and learn to trust me. That's really what it's saying. Don't obey me and learn to trust me. Don't do things God's way, and then guess what? You'll realize in distress and heartbreak and turmoil and things in your life, God, I need to come back. For the Lord your God is merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with you forefathers, with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. It's saying God wants to heal you. But here's what you need to do. I want you to circle the word return. That word return, I gave it, it's a Greek word, I mean, it's a Hebrew word here for repent. It implies a conscious moral separation and a personal decision to forsake sin and enter fellowship with God. All right? If you want to deal with the trash in your life, you got to turn from that trash. I'm going to tell you, if you go play in the garbage that stinks, when you get out of the garbage, what are you going to do? You're going to stink. You can't play in the garbage and not stink. You can't stay in the garbage and not stink. You got to get out of it. That's what he's sitting there saying. He's saying, turn, return, get out of the garbage in your life. Put these things behind you. We need to see that. Sometimes we need to return to God. I'm going to be real specific here. Some of us, I'm going to say some of you, need to repent about magazines you read. All right? I'm serious. You could roll your eyes. You can say, I'm an old fart. You can say whatever you want. But some of you need to think about the magazines you read and repent. Women, too. That Cosmopolitan. Some of those ladies' magazines. I have to confess. I'll pick them up as I'm waiting in line with Laura at the grocery store. No, I don't pick them up. I look at the pictures on the front, though. That's bad. That's bad. We need to repent. You need to look at that magazine. It might be something you did as a child. It might be going to my neighbor's house, looking at his dad's Playboy magazines. Or maybe the Playboy you had between the sheets, between the mattresses in your bed. And maybe you got to turn that internet off. You got to shut it down. You may have to cancel cable. You may have to quit going out with certain friends. I'm being specific. When I say repent, I mean you got to turn around. You may have to quit going to certain places. When I was a kid, it was a drive-in theater. I don't know where kids go nowadays, but when I was a kid, it was going to the drive-in theater. I worked at a walk-in theater. And I had friends at the drive-in theater. I would sit with the projectionist. He had binoculars. You need to know something. The drive-in theaters, projectionists used to carry binoculars to those drive-in theaters. I've heard the stories. I've seen what goes on in a walk-in theater in the 70s. There are things we need to repent of. I'm going to tell you can't run from it. You got to turn from it. You got to repent. If you're going to flee, it begins with repenting. All right? I'm serious about this. There's things on that internet you need to turn off. I get aggravated with the, you know, I don't go to those porn. You need to know, I do not go to the porn sites. But I get frustrated with some of the pictures that come up in the sidebar. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, those things come up in the top. I get frustrated with that kind of stuff. We need to think about those things in our lives. So I'm going to ask you, what do you need to turn from? What do you need to repent from? I'm going to Santa Cruz Beach so I can watch the women. Yeah. What do you need to turn from? To guard your life. To guard your marriage. And when I'm saying guard your marriage, I'm not talking about if you're not married. If you're married, I'm talking about even if you're not married. Because you got a future marriage that you want and you want it to work. And you want it well, then you need to do the first part well here. See? I want to challenge you. Do you need to repent? What do you need to watch in your life? Don't ignore it. It's not going to go away. Don't dabble with it just a little bit. Don't mess with it. It's baby steps that get us that far. We got one of our, I had a speech class when I was in junior college. And part of that part, we had a debate. And you had to put your group together for a debate. So I put our group together, and I never told them who I was or what I was doing. And we got on the pornography group. We're going to debate pornography. And I never told anybody in the group. They never asked me what stands. We'd get together and we'd talk about our group. But I never told them what I stood for. I never told them where I was. So all of a sudden, we come to the debate time, and we're going to debate in front of the class. So we're sitting at the table, and there's like 5-6 of us sitting at this table, and we're going to debate pornography. And they had no idea where I stood. So all of a sudden, it starts a debate. And I start flipping out these statistics from the FBI of how rapists, their rooms are full of pornographic material. I start pulling out all these statistics and these documents and these things. And they were just, they didn't have a response. They didn't come with any information. They just come thought, it's going to be easy. We're all college kids. You know, it's just part of being a college kid, right? Everybody else is doing it. It's just what kids do. Yeah. And they thought we were all going to be along this line. And I had all the statistics to challenge their thinking. And it was a real interesting debate. I spoke over 40-some-odd times. Can you believe that? I spoke over 40-some-odd times. No, everybody else had like 10 or 15. Yeah. Because I became the center and I was after them. Because it makes a difference. Oh, it's just a magazine. It's just a catalog. You want to do something interesting? Go look at the magazines in somebody's bathroom. You learn a lot about who they are. I'm serious. See the catalogs that come to their house. You know what was interesting? When I grew up, they always had them with paper. You had your, brown paper over them, so you never knew what magazine that was. Well, you had an idea, because it's got a brown paper on it. I'm saying, you think about what you're doing. It will destroy your life. What does Satan want to do? Steal, kill, destroy. And he will use sex. And that's what's so, to me, what's so frustrating. Sex is a God-given gift that Satan has taken, and he steals our joy, kills our peace, and destroys our lives. Think about how many marriages, how many prostitutes, how many pregnant teenagers, how many single parents, all because we've taken this God-given gift, this spiritual, emotional, and physical gift, and twisted it. It's just an act. It doesn't hurt anybody. As long as we're consenting adults and it's safe sex, it's okay. I want to ask you, what do you need to repent of? It's not, you don't need to come to me. I'm no priest. We're not going to have a little room over here and ask you to come in and have a little confessional here. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to ask you, you need to repent. Is there something you need to get right? It's between you and God. But I tell you this, if you don't get it right, it will eat your marriage and your relationships up. That stuff is stored in your head, and I give you this. Satan, at the right time, in the right opportunity, in the right place, Satan will go, tink, and there it is. There it is. There's that thought. There's that image. There's that regret. There's that guilt. Satan will push that button just like those pop-ups on a computer. Boing, there it is. And it's like, oh. I'm going to challenge you to guard your life physically, spiritually, and emotionally. This might be a touchy issue and you might be uncomfortable, but I want you to look at this last scripture. We're going to go back to that last verse. Let's repent. We talked about that already. Let's go. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. I give you some ideas. This next one gives you some ideas. I put them real quick up here. Go, God, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say what you want me to say. I don't want to hear what you don't want me to hear. I don't want to look at what you don't want me to look at. I want to honor you with my body. Can you say that? What I want to tell you is this. If you're in distress, like that verse says, if your heart is aching, if there's some things in your life you need to get rid of, God is sitting there saying, I'll take them. If there's some things in your life, there's some regrets, if there's some guilt, if there's some things you're doing now that you want to turn and flee from, God is sitting there saying, come to me, and I'll heal you. You can get a fresh start. You're all new. It's a new beginning. See, I believe, now some of you might have a problem with this, but I believe you can still become a born-again virgin. I believe that. I believe that. I believe sometimes people make mistakes in their life. But through God's grace and God's mercy, He can turn that around and help you become a born-again virgin. I really believe that. Whether you're a man or a woman, I really believe that. I believe God gives us those second chances. He lets us wipe those things out. One of my favorite verses is in the Old Testament. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. There's a wonderful song. It talks about He casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. I love those kind of songs. What's in your life that you need to deal with?